This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
It's DCR.
I don't know that I've ever been more offended or hurt in my radio career.
I'm sorry, Dave. I apologize because we talked about it a little bit in the pre-show meeting and I forgot to give you the wishes, so that's my bad.
We all know, Dave, today's your birthday.
If this was your idol, Michael Kay, and you didn't get in touch with him on his birthday, the relationship would probably be fractured.
That's a fair point, Dave.
I'm 57. I'll be 53 next Saturday.
I don't know what kind of math that is, but you know what I'm saying.
First of all, don't criticize Kay's math. Whatever he says, that's how it is.
This is DCR.
That's how I teach my kids. Milo counts to 60. That's how he counts
to
60.
Milo, 54, 55, 56, 53. Please.
This exactly right.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it is Friday. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Matt Miller, NFL Draft Scout, will join us at 7:30. The draft is quickly approaching. A couple quarterbacks, big-time quarterbacks, may be available in Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. We'll get there in a couple minutes. Get to your calls as well, 800-919-3776. Let's go back to the Knicks and the Nets a little bit here as well. Tale of two different stories last night, huh? And the Knicks were dreadful, and the Nets, Chris, again, were just, God, they are so fun to watch and so good right now.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Dave. When Kyrie Irving plays like that, I don't know who in the NBA is going to beat the Nets, especially when they get back to full strength. Like, I don't know how you do it. I mean, Kyrie Irving was phenomenal. He just took turns dicing up Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. And I get Smart was coming off of a calf injury, but I mean, they couldn't stop that dude, Dave. And I mean, it showed down the stretch in that game. Like, you saw the Celtics making a push with about 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And then at that 3 minute mark, the Nets go on a 13-3 run and Kyrie Irving scores 8 of those 13. Like, the dude was a monster last night. Mid range game, getting to the rim, knocking it down from deep. He had it all going. He was in his bag. And again, when he's not a head case and when he's dialed in on the basketball court, I don't know who's going to beat the Nets in the NBA. I just don't, including my Lakers. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, but that's what's so scary about them too. I mean, is they don't even have Kevin Durant. They just signed Blake Griffin, and who knows how much he's really going to contribute. But it is nice as far as depth is concerned to have someone, you know, that has that kind of ability. You're probably going to see the best version of Blake Griffin now on this team, as opposed to what you saw in Detroit. I mean, this is a team that's going to compete for a championship, obviously. But
yeah,
I mean, you pretty much pencil it in. You know, Brooklyn playing, even without Kevin Durant, they're going to get to at least 120 points.
Which is amazing.
And then, I mean down the stretch.
120 points on any night for this team.
Well, look at the start they got off to, too. I mean, they didn't have a good, their first quarter wasn't very good. I mean, Landry Shamet kept them in that first quarter, but I mean, still, they end up with 121 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, defensively, I mean, everyone keeps going back to that stat over the last 20 years. I mean, with the defensive efficiency, like, the worst the team that's won has finished was 11th. And right now, I believe the Nets are 26th in defensive efficiency, which, I mean, if you want to point to that, I guess you could use that as a reason why they won't win a championship. But, I mean, if they can, even last night, I mean, Joe Harris has a big steal on Tatum. Harden causes a Jaylen Brown turnover. If they can string together a couple stops because they're so potent offensively, I mean, you look up and, like Chris mentioned, they go on a 13-3 run to finish the game.
And the Celtics needed to win, were rested, played hard. You didn't have your arguably best player, and you still get by Boston.
Well, look at how good Kyrie was, man.
I know. And that's why all the stuff he does, all the things he says, all the weird issues with him, when he does stuff like last night, you're like, you know what? It's probably worth it.
Yeah, 77 points in the two games against the Celtics, I'd say so. I mean, they sent the message loud and clear to Boston, like, even when you're playing hard and we're not at full strength, you still don't have a shot. I don't know what team in the Eastern Conference is going to beat them in the playoffs. Like, I just don't see it.
None.
Like, everybody's pointing to the Sixers, and as good as Joel Embiid is playing this year, they ain't got a shot, especially if Kevin Durant is healthy and Kyrie Irving is playing like he did last night.
The only team, Chris, is, like, you're the last line of defense. That's it. It's your Lakers.
And even with that, Dave, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think
you're the only team that has a chance.
They got a shot, man, but not. Listen, if you see that Kyrie, Dave, the one we saw last night, I'm a Lakers fan, and I would probably bet on the Nets if I had to make a pick.
You want to hear from Kyrie? That's always a treat.
Oh, yeah. That's cold. That's cold.
Rick, you want to hear a little Kyrie conversation?
I'm honestly, seeing how effective he's been, I'm considering the Sage thing and a walking stick.
Let's take a listen. He was asked about his former Celtics teammates. Here's one Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie, we see you after the game hugging all your former teammates. But
big surprise, huh? To a lot of people.
Well, honestly.
All that talking about me and all the relationships I have with every teammate of mine. I'm glad we get to see it every single game that I got some great people out here.
So there you have it. One Kyrie Irving.
But that, I mean, again, Chris, I'll give you credit, man. You said this last week. I mean, for all the times he says it doesn't bother him.
It bothers him. It bothers him, man. The stuff that he does is just to try to deflect, man, bringing up the stuff that he's advocating for with social justice. As great as the work that he's doing is, a lot of the times when he mentions it to the media, it's just deflecting. Kyrie is not a guy that likes a lot of criticism. He's very thin-skinned, but he's a hell of a basketball player, and that's why everybody around the organization puts up with his antics.
What was the quote from the old Giants GM, George Young? Whenever they say it's not about the money, it's about the money.
It's about the money.
Whenever you say it doesn't bother you, it bothers you. Let's go to Dale in Queens. Dale, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, DCR. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Great, great. Great to hear you guys. I just want to wish a happy birthday to my fellow Pisces guy, Pisces, that's how you say it, Dave Rothenberg.
Thank you, Dale. Birthday, you're a gentleman. I greatly appreciate it. Anyone that goes out of their way to wish me happy birthday right off the bat is someone I consider myself very tight with, very close.
My own was just two Saturdays ago, man. Thank you.
Well, happy birthday to you as well, Dale. Rick, would you like to wish Dale a happy birthday?
Yeah, happy birthday, Dale. We love you. We appreciate your
phone call. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Happy birthday, guys. Dale. I'm not going to be the only one that doesn't wish you a happy birthday.
Now, you're a Super Bowl champion. You guys are all champions, man. That's all right. Thanks a lot. I was going to ask you guys something, though. Knicks and Nets, right? Somebody said it will be more of a success if the Knicks made the playoffs than if the Nets didn't make the finals. Is that true?
Or do you guys? If they didn't win the finals.
Right. If they didn't win the final,
I think
no, Eastern Conference. It was the Eastern Conference. It was the Eastern Conference finals.
If they don't make it to the finals.
They don't make it to the finals.
Okay. Who would have had the more successful season? I don't know. It's a toss-up. I mean, if the Knicks do make the playoffs, it would be a success, but I think the Nets would still have the most successful season. I don't know.
If the Nets lose in the Eastern Conference finals and the Knicks get into a full series and lose, in my mind, the Knicks have had the more successful season.
No question about it,
Dave. The Nets have to go to the NBA finals. They have to.
Are you sure that would have won? I could have sworn Stephen A. said if the Nets didn't win the finals.
No, I think it was they get past the conference finals. I think it was getting to the NBA finals.
To the NBA finals.
Yeah. It wasn't win it.
Listen, as good as they are.
You want to take a listen to it and go to the audio?
I do. Yeah, let's dissect it.
All right, let's dissect it. Here it is. What exactly did Stephen A. say?
If the New York Knicks make it to the first round of the playoffs, but the Nets don't make it to the finals, the Knicks will actually have had a more successful season than the Brooklyn Nets.
This is not the best day for you, Rick.
No, so I was wrong. I mean, I would agree with that. I think every Nets fan would agree with that.
Yeah.
The puck is black! What?
It's just, you know what, Rico? It's just amazing to me. I was watching that game last night, and I think back to all the phone calls that we got from Knicks fans about how they didn't want Kyrie Irving and how Kyrie was the path for the Nets to create the team they have right now. It's really unbelievable, man.
The Knicks came out and said it, though, remember?
Yeah.
We don't want Kyrie on his own. We only want him as a package deal with Kevin Durant.
How ridiculous is that, though, Dave?
That had to be because they were being told that Kyrie had already decided he wanted to go to Brooklyn.
So they were going
to
muddy the waters? We didn't want you anyway?
It had to be. Otherwise, I mean, how does that make any sense?
It doesn't look good.
But what is there to be gained? Exactly. It doesn't look good now. What was there to be gained by doing that? You're not saving face if Kyrie Irving chooses not to come to you and goes to the Crosstown Nets.
He's a hell of a player. Let's go to Kenny in Jersey. Kenny, you're next up on 98.7, bud.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you, Kenny.
No problem. Look, remember, I was hearing you guys talk about how the Nets is always the second team or whatever in New York. The Nets got to overcome the stigma of being a super team. A lot of people don't even like super teams. So not only are they never going to win the heart of New York, I mean, they're never really going to win the heart of nobody but true Nets fans and bandwagon riders who love super teams.
See, Kenny, I don't know about that, though, Kenny. Kenny, I don't know about that.
A lot of people hate super teams from the rip. Like, as soon as you create a super team, you start creating enemies.
But I don't know. Listen, I guess the diehard, like the real legit basketball fan, probably doesn't like what the Nets are doing. The Nets fan obviously loves it, but I mean the diehard basketball fan probably doesn't love it, right? The super team thing, and you know Kyrie can be unlikable. How James Harden got himself out of Houston, you know, you probably don't like that either. But I just think today's generation of fan is more concerned about the superstar players than the actual team.
Yeah, but I don't think we like teams like Miami. I don't think we like when KD went to Golden State. And I don't think we like. I think we more like teams like that Detroit team that won it that year with Rip Hamilton and them. I mean, that was an organic team. You know, it wasn't a super.
Yeah, but Kenny, in all honesty, Kenny, one of the greatest teams ever assembled, like one of the greatest dynasties that we've seen in the NBA, was the San Antonio Spurs. How many
couldn't stand them because they were so boring?
They were boring. I think the fan today is more concerned about their favorite player than they are the actual teams.
Thanks for the call, Kenny. But I think there's something to be said for even if you don't like them, even if you despise this combination, you're still intrigued by them. You still want to watch them, right? Like nobody looks at Brooklyn and is like, yeah, you know what? I could leave them or I could take them. Mm-hmm. Everyone has an opinion on this Brooklyn team.
Yeah, but it's got storylines and everything else. I mean, they got three of the best players. They just added Blake Griffin. And on top of it, you never know when... You know, Kyrie can fly off the handle.
Oh, that'll happen again at some point.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh in Queens. Josh, good morning. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you, Josh.
I just wanted to... just want to give you guys a hot take a little bit. And listen, I say this as a Knicks fan, so it pains me to say this. But, you know, after watching last night, you have to think to yourself, if those predictions do come true, what Stephen A. was saying, that even if the Knicks make the first round and the Nets make it to the finals, would you have to say Steve Nash wins Coach of the Year over Tom Thibodeau? Even though Tom Thibodeau has put together an unbelievable season so far, still to be determined, but he's also had a great staff with him as well, and he's a tenured coach. Steve Nash, rookie coach, dealing with a bunch of different superstars, and like you said, Kyrie Irving's personality as well, Kevin Durant's injury, and, you know, really with a young core group of coaches, if they make the finals, I mean, Steve Nash, Coach of the Year, any thoughts, guys?
It has nothing to do with how far you make it in the playoffs.
No.
Isn't it voted on before the postseason even starts?
Yes.
Yeah. And if things hold serve, Quinn Snyder's going to win Coach of the Year.
And I'm sorry, if the Nets go to the finals, do you look at Steve Nash and say, what a great job he's done here? Maybe he deserves some credit,
yes.
But you do?
Yes,
it is.
Yes. Really? With Kyrie Irving, yes. Yes.
I think you could coach that team and then go to the NBA finals.
I hear you, but you got to manage those personalities, Dave, and dealing with superstars ain't the easiest thing. It's a part of the job requirement of a head coach, but it doesn't mean that it's easy.
So you look at his almost like therapy sessions as a more important piece than his X's and O's?
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's probably fair. Let's go to Tito in Brooklyn. Tito, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you, Tito.
Well, my point, to the next caller, no. I would give Tom Thibodeau Coach of the Year over Steve Nash. I don't care how many therapy sessions he does with Kyrie Irving. What Tom Thibodeau has done with this young unit and has brought a different culture to the Knicks has probably would over exceed what many people have thought. Now, my point, that the reason why I'm calling, okay, is I'm from Brooklyn, and my heart always will be with the New York Knicks. I'm a New York Knicks Jet fan and Giant fan. I'm a Yankee fan. I didn't want Kyrie Irving, and not because Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving is probably a top 10 player in the league. I don't want Kyrie Irving because of his antics. I don't want Kyrie Irving because he's injury prone. Because you can look back, and he's been injured probably almost every year. Where that's the reason why I didn't want him. Of course, when you need him most, I don't know if he's gonna act up, or he's gonna be injured, and we won't have him. That's the only reason, not because of his basketball skills. So all that ha 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 laughing all about the Knicks and want him. That's the reason why, and I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm looking at it at a whole different level than anybody from the outside.
Tito, I hear what you're saying. The whole point was, if you means taking on Kyrie Irving to get Kevin Durant and James Harden, then in hindsight, you would make that decision. Like, you would advocate for that if you were a Knicks fan. Like, if you knew that the end game would be getting James Harden and Kevin Durant as well, then 100% you would sign up for Kyrie Irving. There's no way you wouldn't be on board with that.
I agree with you, but you wouldn't know that. That's the problem. You wouldn't know that. If you're talking about Kyrie Irving alone.
Those two guys wanted to play together. Going into free agency, Kyrie and Kevin Durant wanted to play together. That was what the storylines were all suggesting. Like, people were reporting it. People that were covering the NBA for ESPN and other outlets, they were saying that these two dudes want to have the opportunity to play together. And the Knicks said, you know what, we're not sure exactly what's going to happen with Kevin Durant because of the injury and whether he's going to leave or stay at Golden State. We don't know. And we don't necessarily want to take a chance on Kyrie Irving having him and nothing else. So we're out on Kyrie Irving. That's what they said. Now, whether or not that's what they really believed, that's debatable. But my thing is this. Why come out and say something like that and take yourself as an organization, take that option off the table for those two guys? Didn't make sense.
I think they knew that they weren't going to get him at that point, probably, right? Because otherwise, what was the rationale behind saying that, except to kind of save face in there?
But you didn't save anything. You didn't save a damn thing. It didn't matter. Like, I don't understand why coming out and saying we don't want him. Well, he's not coming to us, but we didn't want him anyway. What did you save? Nothing.
No, it was probably misguided, but that's the only reason that you would say it. I mean, that would be the only thing that makes sense. Because, I mean, everyone knew that if you got Kyrie, you were going to get KD too. And you're willing to deal with Kyrie because, I mean, first of all, Kyrie is, I mean, he's
terrific.
I'll say it again, man. As far as pure talent is concerned, I mean, there
you
is.
You can go.
Between his handle, he scores from anywhere. He's phenomenal. But, I mean, you're willing to deal with that because, I mean, the other prizes, you get Kevin Durant. Now, all of a sudden, this team is on the verge of maybe winning a championship in year one. As if any Knicks fan wouldn't kill.
Who would
kill
you take right now? Right now, who would you take?
Right now, you're going to take
one team and one team only.
Right now, you would. I mean, AD's still a question mark. Right now, you'd have to take Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I don't think you have a choice.
Brooklyn versus everybody. Right now, Brooklyn versus everybody.
I mean, the only team I would take is the Lakers, so I think I'd say Brooklyn.
Dave, I'm a Lakers fan, and I wouldn't even pick the Lakers right now over Brooklyn.
So how about you? Brooklyn against everybody, Chris.
Yeah, I would take Brooklyn.
This didn't take long, huh?
No, and it's only going to get better, Dave. I mean, listen, when Kevin Durant comes back, whenever that happens, like, I mean, just imagine what this offense is going to be.
Like,
Dave, they're not going to be able to stop them. Like, every offensive possession that the Nets have, like, think about it. Like, how do you defend them? With all three of those guys on the court at the same time, how do you defend that?
You cannot. You can't stop them. Even if you want to slow down one, even if you're a great defensive team and you can slow down two, you have a guy that can go off for 35 points any single night.
No, but in all honesty, I think this was actually probably better for them. They could take their time. I mean, they keep winning. I mean, what are they, 9-1 without Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they won 12 of their last 13.
Okay, so they keep winning.
They got a guy that can score 30 points at the drop of a hat.
Okay, so now that they have the benefit of this, you can rest him as long as you want. Because clearly, I mean, they can win without him. So he's 100%, so when he gets back, he stays back. And on top of it, you got guys that are getting chances to show that they can play. So now Steve Nash going into the postseason, he has different options, guys he can trust.
That's right. And what happens if Blake Griffin has anything left at all?
Well, you're going to see the best version of Blake Griffin.
Yeah, he's going to have. I think he has something. It's not going to look like what it is.
If he's a good player. Not great, because I don't think he's great anymore. But what happens if he's pretty good? Like, think of how good this team can get.
Yeah, but Blake Griffin goes out there and gives you 12-10. Like, that would be
defense,
huge for them.
12-10, good around the rim, like athletic.
Yeah, but it also it takes pressure off Jeff Green, too. Because, they're better when they play small. They got, Jeff Green at the stretch five, and then, Blake Griffin can, jump in and be that other stretch five. Yeah, listen, they're going to be hell to deal with.
Daunting is what it is. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to Omar in East Brunswick. Good morning, Omar. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Good. I just wanted to call, Dave. I set my alarm and everything just to wish you a very, very happy birthday.
Wow. You really, Omar, you really can. Happy birthday. You really do. I mean, I have people in my life that they spend hours a day with me, and they don't even wish me a happy birthday, and you set your alarm. You've never met me, and you wish me a happy birthday. You're a gentleman.
Heck yeah, man. I've listened to you for, 3 years now, all you guys, since 10 to 11, so you guys mean a lot to me, for real. So I wanted to wish you a happy birthday, Dave. I hope you have a wonderful day, man.
Thank you, Omar. Thank you.
You have everyone fooled. I mean, yeah, you could be the biggest
what is
con
that?
Artist
you think today's not
radio.
My birthday? What do you mean I have them fooled?
No, I would just, I mean, everyone, how much I set my alarm because I love you so much. You're the greatest
why
guy.
Why does it bother you that people like me? When people say nice things about you, people, I get all the time, man, he's so funny. What a great guy. I go, absolutely, wonderful guy. Why, when people say nice things about me, does that upset you? I would think it'd make you feel good.
Well, no, because you're the opposite. Like, you're the guy in the locker room that behind closed doors is a terrible teammate and a bad guy. We all know you're a bad guy, but then you get in front of the media, you get in front of a microphone, and you're, you know, everyone's sweetheart. The media loves Dave Rothenberg. He's the greatest teammate. He's a leader. When behind closed doors, we realize that's not the case.
With behind closed doors, you think I'm a bad guy?
No, I mean, it's some questionable decisions you make. I mean, how you treat your family, the fact that you, like, anyone makes a mistake, you're airing them out right on the radio. But it all points to bad teammate.
See, I don't see it like that. Do I have issues? I think everybody has issues. But I think I'm a good guy, and I think I'm a good teammate.
All I'm saying is that in the grand scheme of things, I'm probably the better all-around guy than you. But you get all the credit for being the best guy.
You can't say that, Rico.
How is that possible?
You can't come out and say that because it sounds awfully self-serving.
I'm checking every box.
I'm really the better guy when you really boil it all down.
The truth.
You can't say
the truth.
But Rico, you can't say it though. You leave that for somebody else to say. Like if I said it or Ray or RJ said it, okay. But you can't say it yourself.
I'm like LeBron James. I'm the greatest leader on the planet.
I mean, you chosen. Really,
you gonna start talking about yourself in third person too?
Yes.
You gonna
Rick
do that?
Is very good. Rick yes. is very,
gonna,
very.
You're
good.
You're gonna see me tomorrow. My hairline's gonna be just above my eyebrows.
I'm the better all around guy. All right, making a little note card of that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
DraftScout.com and the NFL Draft Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group and the McAllen Double Cast 12-year-old single malt scotch. Matt, appreciate a couple minutes as always. Let's get right to it. Here's what I'm thinking, because the Jets could certainly use a receiver, and I don't know if they keep Darnold and trade down and take one, but the Giants certainly need one at 11. Give me, in your estimation, the three receivers who we think will come off the board first, which I imagine are Waddle,
Smith so Pitt, and Chase.
Yeah, Smith, Chase, and then include Pitts in there as well. Give me the top four ranking in your mind.
Yeah, guys, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I think the conversation starts with Jamar Chase and Kyle Pitts. Jamar Chase, the excellent wide receiver from LSU who opted out of the 2020 season. Go back to 2019, this dude had 20 touchdowns with Joe Burrow throwing him the ball. So he's electric, 6 foot tall, 208 pounds, but he plays a lot bigger than that. Kyle Pitts is my number three overall player in this class, just behind Trevor Lawrence and Jamar Chase. So he is excellent as well. And it's just, everyone wants to say, oh, he's a tight end. He's not. He's not a tight end. He's an offensive weapon. He can line up in line. He can line up in the backfield. He can be in the slot. He can be split out wide as an actual wideout. Florida did a great job of showing the blueprint to NFL teams of how to use him all over the field. So he's electric there. I think after that, there's a little bit of a jump down to the next two players, both from Alabama, Devonta Smith, who won the Heisman Trophy, and Jalen Waddle, who missed most of the year with an ankle injury. They are two very, very different players, guys. Devonta Smith is 6'1", 175 pounds, excellent hands. He's a great route runner, but he's not that dominant athletic physical specimen that we're kind of used to seeing at the wide receiver position. And then you have Jalen Waddle, who is not that big himself. He's going to be 5'10", around 185 pounds. He might be the fastest player in the NFL draft. I know I've talked to coaches at Alabama who say his 20 yards are the fastest they've ever seen. The start-stop ability is fantastic. There's going to be comparisons to Tyreek Hill because of what he can do, stretching the field, what he can do with the ball in his hands. So it's four really good receivers. I think for Jets fans, you're going to miss out on those four unless you want to draft them at two. But for the Giants at 11, very realistically, Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle could still be on the board.
So when Dave sees a mock draft where it has Kyle Pitts, who, I mean, you're not the only person that said that. I mean, there are plenty of people saying that, I mean, outside of Trevor Lawrence, he's the second best player in this draft, or like you have him the third best player, whatever it ends up being. But Dave sees a mock draft and has a tight end going with the second overall pick. Dave's head wants to explode. Has that mindset started to shift a little bit where, you know, you could see a tight end being drafted that high now?
It has, and there's a couple reasons. I think, you know, first and foremost, Kyle Pitts is a special player. I know, you know, a good friend of mine, Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network, said if he had to pick one player in this class to be a Hall of Famer, it would be Kyle Pitts. And I respect that opinion. He's going out there on a limb a little bit, but I respect that. And so, but it does go to show the type of player that Pitts is. I think secondarily, the NFL has changed to where, you know, we have to get out of the mindset of, well, you have to have, you know, a wide receiver one, a wide receiver two, a wide receiver three, and then a tight end. It's not like that anymore. Think about Kansas City. Travis Kelce is their number one target in the passing game. San Francisco, George Kittle, number one target in the passing game. The Raiders, Darren Waller is the number one target in their passing game. So instead of thinking in this old school manner of, well, my tight end is going to be my third or fourth option in the passing game. It's not like that anymore. For a lot of teams, your tight end is your first option. And so, you know, the Giants kind of tried that with Evan Ingram. It hasn't worked out. So I, you know, understand fans in that area, especially be like, no. Like, we're not doing that. You know, you don't draft the tight end that early. But I think this is where it's a little bit different because of just the talented player that Kyle Pitts is and the versatility that he brings to the table.
Matt, the quarterbacks are a big focal point in the conversations around this year's draft. And, of course, Trey Lance is front and center today because he's having his pro day. And as a talent evaluator, how do you judge overall pro readiness? Because with Trey Lance, I mean, he's only got 17 games experience at the FCS level, but the style of play that they have at North Dakota State, him being in the huddle, calling his own plays, getting to the line, calling his own protections, calling all of the audibles at the line, how do you judge overall pro readiness? How do you weight the experience versus the operation that the quarterback has in game?
Yeah, that's the hard part, right? Because you look at a guy who has 17 starts in college and none of them against an FBS school. So he's never played in Alabama. He's never even played in Missouri. You know, it's been all these small schools. So that is the hard part. But I love that you mentioned that because not only did he have to make audibles and call protections at the line, he actually played under center some, which we don't see a whole lot in college anymore. So that part of it is hard to weigh. I look at Trey Lance, and I got roasted for making this comparison the other day on NFL Live, but I look at him as a player like Lamar Jackson, where year one, he can play quarterback for you. He might not be, you know, as ready as Mac Jones coming out of Alabama, but they actually have the same number of starts in college. So what I see with Trey Lance, the reason I said Lamar Jackson is, get him on the field right away, let him beat you with his arm talent and his athleticism. Let's keep it simple. It's going to be some rollout. It's going to be half-field reads. It's going to be a lot of RPO, but he is a great runner, so that's okay. And then year two, you can add more to his playbook. Year three, you can add more to his playbook. So I see Trey as ready to play right away. And I really think, you know, if you take Patrick Mahomes out of the equation, if you're drafted in the top 10, you play right away in the NFL at the quarterback position. So if you're the Atlanta Falcons, maybe you're the exception this year because you have Matt Ryan. But if you draft a quarterback and you're the Carolina Panthers, you can't keep an athlete like Trey Lance on the bench for Teddy Bridgewater. And I love Teddy, but you can't do that. You have to get him out on the field.
Matt, if Trey Lance is comparable as Lamar Jackson, I mean, this guy's got to be the second quarterback off the board, right? The gap between him and Zach Wilson can't be all that great if you're saying he's comparable to a guy that won MVP in his second season.
Yeah, so I don't think the gap is that great. And I think with Zach Wilson, we have to have some conversations about, you know, you talk about how hard is it to project Trey Lance to the NFL. How about Zach Wilson? I know he started for 3 years at BYU, but there are a lot of question marks there. He's really a one-year wonder this past year with the 33 touchdowns and three interceptions. We didn't see that in 2019. We didn't see it in 2018. So you do have to, and God bless Joe Douglas. This is a heck of a job he has to try to figure out what we saw from Zach Wilson in 2020. Is it because it all clicked for him, or is it because they didn't play a tough schedule due to COVID? That's I think, the hardest question in the draft right now. Not is Trey Lance ready to play, or, you know, is Mac Jones going to get better than he is right now? I think the biggest question is, was what we saw from Zach Wilson real? Is it translatable, or was it just lightning in a bottle for 1 year? And that's why, you know, me personally, I've said I like Justin Fields better than Zach Wilson. I like Trey Lance right there with Zach Wilson. Wilson does some amazing things with the football, but he didn't do those things in 2019. He didn't do those things in 2018. And so you do have to look and be skeptical of, all right, I saw him beat up, you know, UCF and some bad schools in 2020. How much of that counts?
No, you're going to give Rick an absolute heart attack here, Matt. I don't know what's going to happen. He's going to fall apart as the Jets fan on the show. Matt Miller, the draftscout.com, and of course does some great work here with us at ESPN. I got to be honest, you've intrigued me now about Pitts, the kid out of Florida. Because I had seen him going to the Giants originally at 11. I was like, I don't want to take a tight end at 11. Seems so high, and their track record has not been great with tight ends in the first round. But is there any chance that he's there at 11, or is he just too highly regarded a prospect at this point?
Yeah, as you said, you're not going to have to worry about it. He's going to be gone. So you won't have that all moment right on April 29th of like, oh, man, should we draft the tight end? He'll be long gone. Yeah, he'll be a top five pick. He really will be. I would I think the only thing that would keep him from being a top five pick right now is if we saw four quarterbacks go in the first four picks and then the Bengals go offensive tackle. Like, that's the only way that we do not see Kyle Pitts drafted in the top five.
Matt, in your opinion right now, and listen, a lot can change leading up to the draft, but in your opinion right now, who do you think the best corner available is going to be, and who do you think the best edge pass rusher is going to be?
Yeah, those are two tough questions right now. I think at corner, I prefer Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. The biggest question there is injuries, because he has had a back injury and a knee injury in the past, but he is the fastest. He's the best ball hawk. He had four picks in 2019. He opted out in 2020. Now he's 6'1" and some change. He's 205 pounds. So he checks all the boxes for me. As far as edge rushers go, there is not a standout player this year. There's not that one guy that you jump on the table for. So I prefer Kwity Paye from Michigan. He's 6'4", 270, 275. He's going to be exceptionally athletic when his pro day comes around in the three cone. You see the short area quickness, the balance, the ability to dip his hips, drop that shoulder, get around the edge. But also, Michigan asked him to play at times over the center. They asked him to play in the A-gap. So he has that ability to bounce inside and still be able to win. I think the question with Kwity Paye, the reason he's not being talked about as a top 10 or 15 pick, is that the production wasn't always there at Michigan. So the hope is you can convert that athleticism to some stats.
Matt, the offensive line, looking at Rashawn Slater, I thought he was a good player in college. You know, you saw him battle against Chase Young a couple of years back. He's got a lot of position versatility. But for me, he took a jump this week when you saw him run a 4.8 40 and he had that 500-pound front squat. I mean, is he the safest prospect in this year's draft?
You know, that's a great point. And he might be. He really might be. Because the reason is, like, you put him at left tackle where Northwestern played him. I know he's a little bit short, 6'4 and a quarter. But if he doesn't work at left tackle, I think he'd be an all-pro guard. So in that way, I do think he is exceptionally safe. That if it doesn't work at one spot, we'll just kick him inside, and he looks like he's going to be all-world at that place. And so for that reason, I do think he might be the safest. I think Najee Harris from Alabama is pretty safe as well at running back. You know, to be 6'2", 230, to have speed, to have power, to be a great pass catcher and a good pass blocker. Like, you're gonna last in the NFL at that position for a long time with those traits. But yeah, I think that's a great point about Slater, that with the athleticism, the technique, you know, you can go back to 2019. He obviously opted out this past year. You go back to 2019, he did the best job of anyone against Chase Young. Not to say Chase didn't get him a couple times, but he did the best job that anybody could have done against Chase Young. And I think that, you know, that's kind of the game that he can hang his hat on and be like, okay, look, I've gone against the best you have to offer. And, you know, my comp for him was Joe Staley, another guy who, you know, not
that's
the
pretty,
biggest
that's pretty
dude,
damn good.
Very good athlete. Pretty good player, right?
Yeah, it certainly is. Matt, last one, Matt Miller, NFLDraftScout.com, and, of course, does some great work for us here at ESPN as well. Just joined, so welcome aboard. Do you expect a lot of trade activity prior to and even inclusive of draft day?
You know, I don't right now, just because the need at the quarterback position. And the domino effect is Deshaun Watson. We're all waiting to see what happens there. So if the Miami Dolphins trade that number three pick as part of a package to get Deshaun Watson, then all hell could break loose. The same with the Carolina Panthers at 8. They're going to be aggressive about getting their quarterback. The Chicago Bears at 20 want to be aggressive about getting their quarterback. So those three teams are the ones we're kind of watching, waiting to see what they do. But, you know, as of right now, I think there's so many teams that have a need and they have a player or a couple of players they want. So they're going to be holding tight right now. We didn't see a lot of trades in the first round last year. And I think some of that was due to COVID. Wouldn't be surprised if it's the same thing this year.
Matt, how much trepidation is there? I mean, listen, the draft is always, I mean, it ends up being a crapshoot, right? And you know, we've had Mike Tannenbaum on, and he says great GMs, Hall of Fame GMs hit on, you know, if you're lucky, 60% of your picks. How much more difficult is that now with no combine and with what, you know, kind of the seasons that were because of the pandemic and everything else? How much more difficult is it going to be for these GMs and scouts this year?
Huge. It's hugely different. And, you know, like, good football players are easy to see on Saturdays. The hard thing is figuring out the personality. You know, what is this guy really like? Because you've lost a lot of contacts with the school. You know, you guys talk about Trey Lance's pro day today. There will be general managers there today who are considering him as a top 10 pick, and they've never seen him in person before. So, like, that aspect of things has been taken away. So, you know, even like the last year, the Tennessee Titans drafted Isaiah Wilson with the 29th overall pick in the first round, and he has been traded for a swap of a seventh round pick to the Miami Dolphins. So it's just missing on the person is what we're seeing. I think more than anything right now is you're not able to get in there and get to know who these guys are. So you're going to roll the dice a little bit on on, you know, players that you're hoping can be the guy that you really haven't spent time with as a person yet.
All right, Matt, listen, we appreciate it. Study up, because we're gonna pick your brain as we get closer to the draft on April 29th. Great stuff. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. Have a good day.
Absolutely. That, of course, Matt Miller with us now at ESPN. You can get his stuff on the draftscout.com as well. The NFL Draft Report was powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains can make your dreams of owning a luxury vehicle a reality. Stop in or they'll come to you for an at-home test drive. You can visit pepeautogroup.com to shop all their luxury brands and the Macallan Double Cask 12-year-old single malt scotch whiskey, the perfect balance of American and European sherry season oak casks, two worlds, one Macallan, imported by Edrington Americas. Please enjoy responsibly. When he was saying that about Zach Wilson, I felt like you could be having a nervous breakdown there.
Yeah, I mean, this is for all the people that say, oh, the draft starts at 2, this is great. The Jets have so much, you know, so many options, and they can be so flexible with the second overall pick. Yeah, that's great, but it also, I mean, there's also more of an opportunity to make the wrong decision and make a mistake. Like, the first overall pick, you're not making a mistake. Like, you're not going to get, Joe Douglas would never be fired if he had the first overall pick and took Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid it didn't work out. Because everyone said, you got to draft Trevor Lawrence. Now, I mean, you have Chris Sims, who says that, I mean, he's broke down every single one of Zach Wilson's games, and he's got him as a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
And now, I mean, we love Matt, and we respect everything he says, and he doesn't even, I mean, he has Justin Fields ahead of Zach Wilson, and it sounds like even Trey Lance just above Zach Wilson.
Yeah, it seems like it's all right there, right? It's all muddied up. And that's the one position that you didn't want for your Jets, right, Rico?
No.
You wanted it to be a clear decision on what they should do with this year's top draft pick. Just how painful this past season was. You wanted it to be surefire. You wanted it to be Trevor Lawrence, a once-in-a-generation type talent. Guy that broke Deshaun Watson's records in high school. Won a national championship as a freshman. Like, you wanted all of those things. And now you're going to have to parse through which one of these other three quarterbacks is the right fit for the New York Jets moving forward.
It's unbelievable that we're here and there's so much uncertainty closing in on the draft. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Did you guys see what Michigan State is going to be called from now on?
No, I haven't seen it.
No.
This is unbelievable. They are, and this is not a joke, I'm serious. They are now the Michigan State University Spartans, presented by Rocket Mortgage.
So every time you say them, you have to say they're presented to you by Rocket Mortgage.
I mean, I don't think we have to say that now, but like when they get introduced at home or when they're on the road, it's going to be, and now here is your Michigan State University Spartans, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Like, yes. I guess to say their official name moving forward, you're supposed to say that.
Yeah, this is like saying that the New York Islanders are currently in first place in the Mass Mutual East.
But that's not, this is worse than that, though.
Oh, no, I'm making a joke. Yeah, but again, I mean, what is the, if you could take one thing from this time that we spent in the pandemic talking about sports, what would be the one thing that it is abundantly clear?
It's all about the money.
All about the money.
And that's great, though, Rico. That's great. But when it comes to these college programs, it's all about the money for the programs. They need to make it all about the money for the players, too. I'm tired of the players not being able to benefit from these programs making all of this dough. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. The Michigan State Spartans, presented by Rocket Mortgage, and the players can't get none of that? The players can't get none of that?
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
Well, that's exactly what college programs been doing. They've been hiding the money from the guys that are generating the money. It's ridiculous, man. Enough is enough.
So instead of, on your brackets, instead of like filling out MSU, it'll be MSUPBRM will be the appropriate.
That's too much. That's too much. I can't fit that in my line. I
well,
can't do
you're
it.
You're going to have to. This Hoops update brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. Well, Georgetown with a big win yesterday. They're back at it tonight, 6 o'clock at the Garden. They take on Seton Hall. Winner that goes to the Big East Finals against the winner of Creighton and UConn. Rutgers with a come-from-behind win last night against Indiana. They now face Illinois and Georgia Tech, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida State in the ACC tonight. 800-919-3776. A lot of phone calls. People just want to talk about everything, Rick.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, this is my favorite time when we take all these calls. Let me just ask you guys a quick question before we take the first call. Mm-hmm. And listen to what Matt said about, you know, not really getting an opportunity to really get to know who these players are, which concerns me because that's some of the most important stuff. Does that make trading a bunch of picks for Deshaun Watson easier to swallow?
It should, but I don't know that it will for Joe Douglas just because of his overall philosophy on how to build a team. And he comes from Baltimore, man. They value draft picks more so than other teams do. Yeah.
Doesn't feel like he's
I never
he's
hesitated
all in.
About it, though. Like, I mean, because that's sure. Like, that's defined. You know he's great. And yes, I'd give up a lot, but I know exactly what I'm getting in return.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different opinions. Like, this just feels like one of those opportunities where there is so many different opinions about who you would take with that second overall pick that there's a chance you could make the wrong. There's always a chance. There's always a chance, but there always feels like there's certain players in every draft. Like, you were upset that Daniel Jones threw that extra touchdown and you didn't get Chase Young.
Right.
But in that draft, it was Chase Young, and there was no one close. It wasn't like Chase Young, or you could take this guy. It was Chase Young is the guy.
Yes.
And look at what he is, right?
Exactly.
Yes,
right.
He's a beast.
I mean, there's so many guys that you're not sure of right now. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. Eddie, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, happy birthday, Dave. Happy 58th, brother.
Yeah, very cute, Eddie. I mean, come on. And of course, Giggles over here thinks that's the funniest thing he's heard all morning. Guy, you know what, Eddie? I'm going to let you go ahead with your point. Go ahead. I'm a bigger guy than that. Good morning.
Because you're Long Island and you kind of never played sports before, but that's all right. You know, let's get
You know what? We're done. Goodbye. That was a wonderful call, Eddie. But you know what?
Wow.
I gave him one chance. He rebounded with another insult, and it's unnecessary. He's a bad guy.
Wow.
That was probably your cousin, Eddie. That's who
this
that
is
was.
Cousin Eddie calling in.
Goodbye.
He's outside in the RV emptying out
You sit here with the sourpuss all morning long. Guy comes on and insults me multiple times. That's the one time all of a sudden now you're alive.
He's emptying his RV in the driveway.
Josh in Brooklyn. Good morning, Josh.
Hello?
Hi,
what's going
Josh?
On, Josh?
Hey, what's up? CR, how you guys doing? I just want to wish Dave a happy birthday. You carry guys through the show.
Uh-huh.
Who can't wish a happy birthday, who can't even get through 12 seconds of an opening, and who can't acknowledge their own faults. Dave, you are a great gem to the show. I listen every day for you. I listen every Saturday for you. I'm happy that you are here. You keep me as an ESPN customer.
Oh,
and
Josh.
And happy birthday to you, guy. You are great. CR should be the show. Whoever the other guy is needs to leave. Goodbye, guys.
Wow. What a great call that was.
Nah,
huh?
See, sycophants. It's almost like a cult. It's sycophants. It's
now, Dave, like do you mail him the check after the show? How does that work?
No, I paid him in advance.
You
he
paid him in advance for
him?
Okay.
I paid him
right.
Before he made
Venmo,
the
maybe?
Call.
All right.
Yeah. Let's
okay.
go to Shaq in Queens. Good morning, Shaq. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thanks.
Happy unbirthday, Chris and Rick. I just wanted to say real quick, I don't think Steve Nash can be coach of the year because I think Kyrie Irving is the real coach of the team and Steve Nash is just like a figurehead.
No, I don't think that. I mean, it's fun to joke like that. I mean, part of Steve Nash's job, I would say the most important part of his job is dealing with the different relationships and the different personalities, keeping everyone happy.
Yeah, there's a lot to deal with. I mean, there's a lot to unpack with that organization right now.
Yeah, I mean, then you get a bunch of personality. I mean, Kyrie's not an easy guy to deal with. So
he's
I mean,
impossible.
And you got three legitimate, and I mean, now even four. I mean, I don't think Blake Griffin's at that level.
Mm-mm.
Not but anymore. I mean, you got three of the best players in the world who have huge egos, and then two of them are pretty sensitive. So that's
very
that's
yeah.
Easy
Steve Nash is the opposite of Pete Carroll. The opposite.
These sycophants that worship
Stop.
You. It's like the people that like worship serial killers.
What? Why would you be so mean?
You just hung up on a caller because he was joking around with you.
He was mean to me multiple times. I thought I extended the olive branch. He called up. He was mean. I said, you know what? I'm going to be nice. I'll give you another chance. He was mean again. What should I just sit here and get abused by the guy?
No, not on your birthday, Dave. You were right for hanging up on that guy.
DiPietro?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
I thought he made great points.
It's his birthday. It's Dave's birthday. He can do no wrong. Let him enjoy it.
You're an animal. A certifiable animal. At CVS, we look for savings for you from coupons and insurance coverage to lower cost options. Earn up to $50 in extra bucks each year just for filling prescriptions. Come in or call today for a free prescription savings review at CVS. That's healthier made easier. Savings vary. Not all patients eligible for savings. Ask pharmacist for details. All right. It's a Friday, and you know what that means? Three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Went back and forth on this one. I'm going to give the third star to Rick DiPietro for winning Getting to Know You, although Chris Canty definitely deserves a lot of honorable mention for actually being the bigger man and admitting that he forgot about Dave's birthday. But we'll move on.
Appreciate that.
Number two.
Number two. Come on.
Ha ha! You know what time it is, y'all? The NHL is back, and look who's talking about hockey. As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Stephen A., the voice of the NHL on ESPN, coming to a studio TV near you next year.
The Kraken.
Number one.
Happy birthday, Dave Rothenberg. Go enjoy yourself. Have a great day. If you're choosing to not watch college basketball and not want to get spoiled, I would suggest you tell your sons not to say anything to you. You know, keep the phone away.
Yeah.
And please, for the love of God, do not keep airing dirty laundry at dinner.
Fair enough. But I appreciate the kind sentiments from you and RJ and Chris and everybody who has reached out to me on Twitter at Rothenberg ESPN. Very lovely people out there. Adam Silver, 4:30 today, the commissioner of the NBA on the Michael Kay Show. It is the Friday, and on the Friday we say Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DiPietro Canty. Happy birthday to one Dave Rothenberg and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7. We'll be right back.